Okay. Good morning, everyone. We are going to start with Sukkim this morning, Rosh Hashanah, straight from the beginning, as you have seen. By way of learning the lay of the land, in Maseches Pesachim, the Rishonim we have at our disposal are going to be a little different than those that we might be used to from other Masechtos. Obviously, on the pages of the Gemara, is everyone we're familiar with, obviously Rashi Tosos, we have Rabbeinu Hananel on the Daf, which is very useful in the Rush, and the Rith, and the Ran, and the Mordechai, etc. But once you go off the Daf, the options are a little different. In terms of Tosos, there is a plethora of options. There are many verses of Tosos on Maseches Pesachim. The three most important ones, besides the ones printed on the Daf, are the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, which is found in all the Kovetzes, etc., the Tosfos Rosh Mishantz, and the Tosfos Rosh. The Tosfos Rosh is copyrighted. It's only printed by Machon Ofek. It's not in any of the sets, etc., and the others also are available individually. The Tosfos Rosh Mishantz and the Tosfos Rosh, as usual, are very similar to one another. The Tosfos Peretz is a little different. The Tosfos Rosh generally just took the Rosh Mishantz and edited it a little. So those are the three verses of Tosfosim. In terms of Rishonei Sfarad, maybe we're used to having a Ramban, a Rashba, and a Ritva. We don't have much of a Ramban, Rashba, and Ritva on Pesachim. There's no Rashba on Pesachim. The Ritva on Pesachim is... it's not written by the Ritva, because at the end of the paragraphs he says this, he quotes the Ritva. So it's a Talmud of the Ritva, and it is important, but it doesn't really go into everything on the Daf. It's very, very short. And the Ramban only has, you know, the three Dibur Maskels and the Homo Sechet, which are crucial. You can't move without them, but obviously only a few places in the Homo Sechet. But from the Beit Midrash, the Ramban, instead we have of course the Ran in the back and the Chidusha Ran separately, which is very similar to the Ran in the back, as you would expect. And we have two other Rishonei Sfarad from the Beit Midrash of the Ramban, who are very, very important on Maseches Pesachim, we're not familiar with from most other Masechtos, or Beit David, who's a Talmud of the Ramban, and the Maharam Chalava, who was the same time as the Ran, which would be a few generations after the Ramban. So we're going to lean heavily, make a lot of use of the Rabbeinu David and the Aram Chalava. And of course, we have the Meiri. You can always count on them in every Masechet, and the Rambam Mishneh Torah, etc. So that will be the main Rishonim that we will be using. In terms of Achronim on Maseches Pesachim, since it's very halachah l'maaseh Maseches Pesachim, so you know we'll have occasion to look at many of the Achronim on the Shulchan Aruch, etc., who will be very important for understanding the Gemara. When you have something very halachah l'maaseh, the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim end up discussing a lot of the Gemaras on the Daf. we have the standard Achronim that we'll make use of once in a while. The Tzlach wrote at great length, that's the Nevi Yehuda on Shas, wrote at great length on this Masechet, and we'll certainly quote him once in a while. And that's the Svarim that we'll need. So unfortunately, the Bar Ilan does not have a lot of these Rishonim. Some of them are copyrighted. It doesn't have the Tosfos Rosh. Doesn't have the Tosfos Rosh Mishantz. Doesn't have the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, unless someone knows if a new edition does. I'll try to get my hands on it. Has the Maharam Chalava, but doesn't have Rabbeinu David, which is also copyrighted. So, you know, it would be good for everyone to have access to those Sfarim, if possible. And we will dive into the very beginning of the Masechet, even though the very first issue discussed in the Masechet is not, or at least will seem to be not, until we get through a month or two and are able to maybe delve a little deeper. The most historically original and fundamental part of Maseches Pesachim, it is dealing with Tekanet Rabbanan, not with a din d'oraisa lechora. Nonetheless, we'll jump in here, and then we'll manage to fill in everything else we need to know about the d'oraisas of tashbisu and b'ayirav al-yimatzeh in the next month or two. Let's say by Hanukkah, hopefully. So let's start with the Mishnah. Or l'arbas arbokim zachamets le'or haner.
Excuse me, could I just make an announcement? Could I ask everyone to please mute yourself? And if you want to talk, don't unmute. Just push the space bar when you want to talk. That way you'll automatically be muted when you don't need to talk and we won't have background noise. So please mute yourselves. Just talk. Push the space bar when you want to talk.
Okay, thank you, Morty. And I made Morty the co-host in case he needs to exercise authority and mute anyone against their will. Okay, so that we're all familiar with, we're all Jewish. Then on Leil Arbasar, as we'll see, we do bedikas chametz lo haner. Okay, you only have the check place where you would sometimes bring chametz. If you only have the check where you have to bring chametz, then why is there an ancient besor from well before the time of the Mishnah? You have to check two rows of the wine cellar. The answer is it's only the part of the only type of wine cellar which you might bring chametz into, meaning you bring your food and go there for a little meal. What are these two rows? Well, wait till the Gemara later. We'll explain exactly. I mean, we'll see, my folks, I'm a rhyme, exactly what they mean by this. Says Rashi, Orlar Basar Gersinan. Okay, you can look at the Rishonim to discuss why Rashi rejected the alternative here. So, Orlar Basar, Lora Nair, etc. Bokim, says Rashi, Shlo Yavra, Lov Bayura Bayimotse. Says Rashi, what is this Bidikas Chametz for? This Bidikas Chametz is in order to not violate Bayura Bayimotse. And at first glance, this Rashi seems to make perfect common sense because the Torah says you cannot have Chametz on Pesach. How do you know you don't have Chametz on Pesach unless you check and make sure you don't have? So therefore, you need to do Bidika in order to not violate Bayura Bayimotse. But Tosos asks a famous question of Rashi. Tosos or la basar bodkins chametz pesach kosher shlo ya lav or lav bevayira u bayimotzi kosher lebri kevan nitzarch bittol kederem marabo nitzarch shivatel. It says in the Foman Beis that everyone has to do bittol chametz. If everyone has to do bittol chametz, then habod nitzarch shiv umidarais bit beamasagi. So he puts the other two gemaras. One at the above and base, the other should have, if I was the printer, I would have put little parentheses here, dollar and base. Everyone does bittel, and midoraisa bittel is good enough, which is mufursin of dollar and base. There's no two ways about it. The Gemara says in the Bidika is midorabona, the alma, because midoraisa you're guilty with bittel. Therefore, it's pretty clear that, well, if you did bittel, then it's only midorabona to Bidika. So you can't say it's in order to avoid by rabba, you might say. There has to be a different reason. That's what it says. Amai hitri chuchman and bedika klal. Why do you need bedika? It's clearly to come to Rabbanan. If it's like come to Rabbanan, you can't explain it based on the pasuk. Why do you need? excuse me. Bedika chametz. Benir l'ri da avgav v'sagi bittel bi'al mechmirucham livdo chametz levarosh lo yavo le'achlo. Says the Ri, famous machlokas, here's Rashi versus Tosos. Rashi says Bal Yerub Al Yimotze, although we're not exactly sure what he means based on Tosos Kasha. And Tosos says the Gzeber lets you come to eat it. Right? Once you did Bittul, that avoids Bal Yerub Al Yimotze. But you're not allowed to eat it. If you eat it, everyone agrees. If you eat it after Bittul, you're still Chayv Kares. It's not a heter for eating Chametz. And therefore, it's a Gzeber Darabon, Atu Achdila, Chay Mash Lekaman, he brings a Raya. The boy Rava Kikar Bishmei Kora Vechule Odil Mazim Nenafal Va'asi LeMechle. Okay, we'll stop at Tosos now and then pick up in a little bit. Tosos brings a Raya of the few days. It's a pretty mefurish Raya, right? The Gemara has a bunch of Ibaya's theory. He could have quoted more than one Ibaya, but it's all the same basic idea, right? What was one Ibaya? Kikar Bishmei Kora. You notice a piece of bread in the rafters. So do you have to be a Triach yourself to get a ladder to take it down or not? Interestingly, okay, maybe we'll get to this a little later. Our assumption in nowadays, in our contemporary practice, is that we're matriarch ourselves very much to clean our house for Pesach. Apparently in the Gemara, it was an Ibaya. It wasn't Pasha to them. If we're matriarch ourselves or not, do you have to get a ladder or they weren't matriarchy so much? And what the Jews thought of the Safik? Not that you shouldn't be matriarch yourself to get a ladder in order to do mitzvahs. We're all, you're Hashem. We'd be matriarch ourselves much more than that to do a mitzvah. But whether it's necessary, on the one hand, you won't come to eat it because it's in the rafters. So why would you need to get rid of it? On the other hand, it might fall and then you'll come to eat it. So, but both Dodim, the Safik, the Gemara, are Shema Yavel Achlo, right? One Safik side of the Ibai and the Gemara. One side is, it's mutter, you don't have to get rid of it because you won't come to eat it. It's in the rafter. The other side is you do have to get rid of it because you will come to eat it because it could fall off the rafters. Okay, but both Stadim agree the reason you have to get rid of this is Shema Yavel Achlo. So that is pretty mafurish like Tosos. which is why many Mishonim agree with Tosos that the reason is Shema Yavo. The reason is Shema Yavo L'Achlo. Like for example, the Ramban in his first piece that he Daf Dalet when he discusses Bittul, he throws in that he agrees with Tosos and many others. So that is Tosos. Here is Rashi says on Yirah on Yimatze. And Tosos says, Shema Yavo Le'achlo. So Tosos has two proofs from the Gemara. Rashi has no proofs from the Gemara. Rashi just has a pasuk. What are Tosos' two proofs from the Gemara? His first proof is the Yudah Medeh says explicitly, Shema Yavo Le'achlo. Okay, it says it in Aramaic, not Hebrew. How is Rashi going to passively be doche that proof? What's Rashi going to say about that proof? About Shema Yavo L'Achlo? After all, it's a Mefurish Gemara like Tosos. Isn't that open and shut? What's Rashi going to say? How's Rashi going to parry that proof? What? Exactly. Feivel says, come into Yedua. Feivel's not the first one to say all the Rishonim say. The Tosmanian Peret says it. Everyone else says it. That Rashi, we don't have the proof that that's from Med Chametz Yadua. Chametz Yadua is Gzera Shema Yavo L'Achlo. So what will Rashi say? Rashi will be Docha. Rashi will say, no. For Chametz Yadua. That's not talking about Bedika. Meaning, Dafkin and Bedika is not talking about Bedika. Bedika means looking for Chametz you don't have. That's not talking about Bedika. That's talking about beer. Do you have to destroy Chametz that you know you have? For Chametz Yadua, there is a Zera Shema Yavo L'Achlo. But for Chametz She'ena Yadua, meaning for Bedika, that's because of Ba'yibra Ba'yimatze. Right, so that's not so hard. Why would that be? It would make sense. Chametz Yadua, where it goes there, if it's there, you might eat it. But if you don't even know if you have Chametz, we're not gozer that maybe you'll have chametz and maybe you'll eat it. That's too far. That's like a double chash. However, by your like matzeh, then we are gozer. You might have chametz, you'll violate by your like matzeh. That's a gzera. We don't make gzera two steps. Maybe you'll have chametz that you don't realize and you'll eat it. No, if you have chametz, we're gozer, you'll eat it. If you don't have chametz, we're gozer, maybe you have chametz. And then you violate by your like matzeh whether you do anything or not. But to be gozer two steps, maybe you have chametz and maybe you'll eat it. Therefore, we don't go. So, talking with that, Rashi can easily go with that. The more difficult question is from Daf Dalet Amud Beis, which says that Nida Oraisa Bittol Bial Masagi and Bedika is only Midrabanan. Okay, if so, then Nida Oraisa Bittol got you out about your like Matzei. So then, what is Rashi talking about? So that's what, maybe we'll start with defending Rashi, okay? Start either way. Question is, how do we defend Rashi? How could it be that Rashi is worried about Ba'yor Ba'yimatzeh if, really, Bittul, think about it. What about B'dikas Chametz? Keep in mind, B'dikas Chametz is not just B'dikas Chametz. Okay, some of us are, you know, more follow the Minhag Olam, and we spend, you know, 20 minutes doing B'dikas Chametz. Some of us are like the Vilna Gaon and the Grizz, and we spend all night doing B'dikas Chametz. But in any case, before B'dikas Chametz, the Rama writes, in order to do B'dikas Chametz, you have to clean your house a little first. So we basically spend weeks preparing for B'dikas Chametz. All we need is a 5-second Bittul B'yal Masagi, right? No more Ba'yor Ba'yimatzeh. So what's all these weeks of preparation for B'dikas Chametz? According to Rashi, doesn't make any sense. Why would we waste our time getting a doing bedika if we're going to do bittel anyway. So here's the question: is how to defend Rashi? And there are first of all, I guess one could divide defending Rashi into two categories. There is a sort of historical defense of Rashi and a conceptual defense of Rashi. The Meiri defends Rashi with a, I don't know if it's maybe historical, conceptual, not the right words. The Meiri says, how does the Meiri defend Rashi? Anyone? Let's call it theoretically. Theoretical and practical. Says the Meiri, he says, Rashi doesn't really mean that nowadays the reason we do bedika is to avoid Ba'yur Ba'yur Matzeh. No, nowadays the Meiri says Rashi gives the Tosos. Rashi really gives the Tosos. Says the Meiri, let's go back in time to the Doraisa. What does the Doraisa mean? Mi Doraisa, the Torah says, Tashmisus Ormi Batechem, and Ba'yurabah Yibatse, or in, obviously, Ba'yurabah Yibatse is Chazal language, the Torah language is Lo Yira and Lo Yibatse. What did the Torah mean by that? So that is a big debate. What did the Torah mean by that? What did the Torah mean? What did the Torah have in mind you should do? I don't mean, again, Torah have in mind is a funny thing. The Torah is written by Hashem, and Hashem has everything in mind because he thinks of all the eventualities. What I mean is, what's the pashut pshat of the Torah? What's the pashut pshat of the Torah, the simplest intent of the Torah, when it says, you should get rid of chametz not by your body, blah, 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 blah. Now, we'll see this is a big machlokas. I'm going to apologize now. In order to just learn this derabon and sugya, we're going to have to touch on a few machlokas that, depending on sugyas later, and that we'll explore at great length, right? The Rambam versus many other Rishonim, what did the Torah primarily have in mind? But, says the Meiri, and I think this is a, the Tosos also, many Rishonim hold this, he says, no, the Torah meant physical things. The Torah meant get rid of chametz. The Torah meant get rid of chametz from your house. How do you get rid of chametz from your house? You search for it and you burn it or destroy it in some physical way. Right? Any girl like Ryu to the Chacham. Right? The Torah meant physically get rid of chametz and then you won't violate by Rabbi Yimatze. Then later on, the Chachamim came up with a chap. The chap of the Chachamim was called bittel. It's not that the Torah intended bittel. Right? It's like Mechiras chametz nowadays, right? The Torah never intended Mechiras chametz. Does it work? It works. It works in Doraisa. You could figure out a clever plan that Midoraisa will have the effect you need it to have. But that wasn't the Torah's main intention. That was a trick you figured out. Bittel is a trick you figured out. They figured out if you're about to do chametz, it's Hefgar. And now you don't bother by your Allah Yimatsi. That's not what the Torah meant. The Torah meant to do Bedika to avoid by your Allah. So says the Meiri, he says, the original intent of the Torah was bedika to avoid ba'yiro ba'yimatze. Bittel is a later clever invention. What? Yeah, it's an invention. Invention sounds a little disrespectful. It's a later clever. Okay, is a later strategy.
You mean the word insight?
Devised by the Chachamim. Okay. Bittel was devised by the Chacham. The Chachamim figured out that you could also do Bittel. Maybe they even found the Remez, maybe they didn't find the Remez, right? But that wasn't the main intention of the Torah. So Rashi is giving us the main intention of the Torah, not the Halacha L'maisa. That's what Rashi is telling us. The original intention of the Torah, not
halacha l'maisa nowadays. Meaning, Rashi's not telling us why you and I have to do bittul. You and I have to do bedika. You and I have to do bedika for Tosfos' reason. Rashi's telling us why the Jews in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu had to do bedika. The Jews in the time of Yeshua ben Nun had to do bedika. They had to bedika to avoid Ayala Yimatze before they decided that they would do bittul. Not that bittul doesn't work with the rice. It works with the rice. It's just something you come up with, like mechiras chametz. It wasn't the original intention. Okay, that's me'irid gives. That's like by historical explanation. Rashi was saying on the original d'oraisa plan, the shot of the halacha, what we're supposed to do, not halacha l'maisa.
Rabbi.
Further, the Ran, right? The Ran goes further historically. What does the Ran go further historically than the Me'iri? The Me'iri says the original intention of d'oraisa was not bittul. It was just something the Rabbanim came with later. Rashi's telling us the original d'oraisa intention. Ah, why nowadays do we do it? That's because of Tosos. The Ran goes even further in an interesting historical observation. What does the Ran point out? Exactly, the Mishnayis. Now again, you can't say the Mishnayis didn't have bittul. The Mishnayis Avada had bittul. It's a Mefurish Mishnah and Dafan Tesemet Aleph that if someone is going to Shechtes Karban Pesach or to do a Bris Milah or to celebrate an Irisin, which are all mitzvahs, and he remembers he had chametz that he forgot to burn, and he doesn't have time in Yachalachzer, Vlovar, Lachzer, Zalzer, Yachzer, Vyavar. If he has time to burn it and still make it to the mitzvah, but great, Vimlav. What if he has no time? He's busy with the mitzvah and he has no time to burn his chametz. Then Mevatlo Belibo, okay, then he is Mevatlo. And likewise, if he's going to save people, you know, he's an EMT and a firefighter and a soldier and whatever, then he's Mevatel. The Mishnah clearly has Bittul Chametz, but the Mishnah has Bittul Chametz for uncommon situations, right? The Mishnah says basically, if you're stuck in a weird situation, you do Bittul Chametz. The Mishnah never said that there is a routine bittul chametz. The Mishnah never says that everyone does bittul chametz. Who says everyone does bittul chametz? That's a Gemara on Daf Vav and Beis. On Daf Vav and Beis, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, Habodei Tzar Sheyivatel. Okay, Habodei Tzar Sheyivatel. So what does the Ran say? Again, the Ran doesn't rely only on this. Says the Ran, even in the time of the Mishnah, a regular person didn't do bittul and needed bedika in order to avoid Bayi Rabbayi Matze. Not just originally in the time of the Torah before the Rabbanan came along. Even after the Rabbanan were around for a long time. In the days of the Mishnais, the days of Tanam, no one did bittul. Who did bittul? Bittul is for the rare case of b'dieved b'shas hadchak, of a guy who forgot to burn his chametz and on his way to a mitzvah and couldn't be mevatel that mitzvah. But a regular person like you and I didn't do bittul. When did a regular person start doing bittul? That's the chiddush of the Ran. That's a takanas amoraim. Why is that a chiddush? Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. I bet most Amar Yehuda Amar Ravs and Shas are not saying things that they were mitaking, that Rav was mitaking. It's saying things that existed beforehand, and he's just telling you over them. Keep in mind, Rav Tanu Pali, Rav was the same time as the Mishnah. So there's a big chiddush of the Ran. The Rav Yudam Rav is not telling you something always existed, or that existed. He's not telling you something his grandfather did. He's telling you something he made up. Rav Yudam Rav is a new takana of Rav. Okay, says the routine bedika is only the takana of Rav. Okay, it doesn't say explicitly the takana of Rav, but it must be, right? If it wasn't the days of Tanaim, and then the first Amora was Rav, right? Because Rav Tanu Bali was the first Amora, then it must be a takana of Rav or Rav or Bestino, etc. Okay, the Ran thinks you need a better answer to Rashi than this. He doesn't just rely on this, but it's interesting. Historically, you could say Rashi's not discussing. Rashi's not discussing halacha l'maisa. Rashi's discussing the old days. either the old days of the Daraisa before the Drabbanan, which, you know, we can't necessarily give years for, because Moshe was also a Rabbanan. You know, we don't know exactly when the Rabbanan started which dinim that are very ancient. Either he's discussing the Pshat of the Daraisa before the Rabbanan came and made it to Takana, or he's discussing the Mishnah, the Ram, Yerim, the Doyek. His parish on the Mishnah, Parash being first the Mishnah. You want to know Karmati Amorim what to do? That's a different question. He's discussing the Mishnah. In the days of the Mishnah, in the days of the Torah, in the days of the Mishnah, people did Bedika in order to not violate my Rabbi Matzei. Could they have done Bittul? Maybe they could have, but they didn't. Right? So that is basically what the Meiri and Ran have in common, is that in the days before everyone did Bittul, Rashi makes perfect sense. You have to do Bedika to avoid my Rabbi Matzei. Why nowadays you have to do Bedika? Rashi's not answering that question. Who says Rashi's answering that question? So this is a theoretical, historical, you could say Rashi's done it the old days before everyone did Bittul. However, you still have the question of, even if you have a theoretical question, you still need to know nowadays, right? Even Lefi Meiri Duran, you still need to know nowadays, why do you need to do Bedika if Bittul already got you out of Bal Yerubal Yimotzei, according to Rashi. So here the Meiri says, Shema Yavol L'Achlo, which he has happy to say with Rashi Gudah Tosos, since he says Rashi just the old days historically, he now has the liberty to say that nowadays Rashi Gudah Tosos. However, there are many people who Shimna Rashi. Some say explicitly in the name of Rashi. Some say just we can put it together with Rashi. But there are a few more people who Shimna Rashi that can maybe explain how even nowadays, because of Bayerab Bayimatse. So, anyone want to tell me, how can we say that even nowadays, even after Bittul, the reason you do Bedika is to avoid Bal Yerubal Yimotzei? Someone give me a better pshat on Rashi. Who says that? Okay, the Ran. Final quotes the Ran. Says the Ran. The Ran says there's a problem. Now, we're going to have to get into this problem, meaning the Ran's making a lunch assumption by saying this problem, which we're not going to analyze now because we're not ready to yet. Because says the Ran. The Ran says Bedika is an amazing idea, super powerful, very efficient. But what's the downside? So says the Ran. He says twice. Let's find find the first part. He says. 1 second. Sorry. Because Ella Mipnei Shabitol Zetoliv Machshavton Shobnei Adam the Ein Deosayin Shavos the Efsher Sheikalu Begach Lo Yitzium Yilivam Legamrei Roch Hashem Lahachmer Shol Yaspik Bitol Bitzrichuhu Bedika Ubiyor Shumaspik Gamkein Men Ha Torah. And then he quotes Tosos. What does the Ran say? The Ran doesn't say Rashi and Tosos, but it sounds like he's, you know, he always says either this or that, either this or Shemiyahu Lachlo. What does the Ran say? The Ran say, Bittul is totally belief. Bittul means I'm putting it out of my heart. Now, again, this is an assumption which we're not ready to analyze yet. Is Bittul totally belief or not? Not everything's totally belief, right? Someone give me a phrase from Chazal about how some things are not totally belief.
Dvarim should believe in Dvarim.
Dvarim should believe in Dvarim, I think it was Noah who said. Dvarim should believe in Dvarim. Okay, the Ran assumes for some reason here, and okay, I've given you what to think about, although it's going to take us a month to get there, as to why the Ran doesn't think it's relevant here. The Ran says, Bittul is totally believable shalatim. It depends what you actually think, not what you say. And therefore, some people might not actually think the Bittul, which is not so crazy, keep in mind. He's saying, if not for Bedika, I don't know, okay, maybe I try to be Yerusha Mayan. But I don't know. Maybe let's say I'm not so from, and there is no Takana Bedika yet. What does Chazal tell me? Don't bother to search your house. Just do a Bittul. Hold on a second. What does Bittul mean? Bittul means I actually don't want any of the chametz there. Keep in mind, what does Bittul mean in my heart? It doesn't mean I don't want to eat it on Pesach. I'm not a goy. Of course, I'm not going to eat it on Pesach.
It means that I don't want it at all, right? Even to save it for after Pesach, I don't want. Even if it's delicious and I can eat it, you know, Matzah Pesach, while, you know, everyone else is waiting for the bakery, you know, lucky me, I'll have Drake's cakes hidden away someplace, which are, you know, stay fresh, BS Gold Tzedek. But in my heart, I really don't want it. You can imagine, not everyone's the same. Some people are bigger Shemayim. In their heart, they really don't want the chametz. Other people are like, you know, in my heart, if there is, you know, a coffee cake or a ring ding or a Hostess Twinkie or something, and, you know, happens to show up after Pesach, that would be very nice. You know, or if maybe I forgot something that's worth money, I wouldn't want to lose it. It's very easy for people in their hearts to actually want the chametz. Yeah, not they're going to eat on Pesach, they're not going in, but to want to own the chametz. In which case, they weren't really invited to the chametz because it's only believed, and they finally buy Rabbi Yimotze. So therefore, Ron says, they were talking bittol, bedika. Once you do bedika, then you're not, the odds are nothing left in your house. You can add to the Ron, and even if something is left in your house, after you do bedika, it's easier to do bittol b'lev shalom. Once I checked and all the chorin is stuck in, and the stomach, nothing's there anyway, or whatever's there is probably very tiny anyway, man, it's easier to do a b'lev shalom. Okay, but he says, it really is, right, to avoid by Yirah, by Yimotzeh, even nowadays. Why? Because bittol is totally b'lev, v'shema lo yotzi enu milibo. Meaning, theoretically, bittol's good enough. B'shas hanchak, we're so mechan bittol. But, shalobi, right, that was the case in the Mishnah of Emtesh, shalobi shas hanchak, we don't like to be so mechan bittol. Because it's totally believe, and not everyone's life is the same, and not everyone says equally from in their hearts. And therefore, we're afraid about Yerav HaYimotzei. Okay, great Hesber. That is the Ron. There are others, Beramol. So someone want to tell me another Hesber where you could say that even nowadays when we get bittle, it's still to get you out about Yerav HaYimotzei?
Somebody will forget.
Maybe you'll forget to do bittle. Who says that? Shmuel?
Rabbi Yechiel.
Rabbeinu Yechiel says that exactly. Rabbeinu Yechiel is quoted in the Tosfos Beinu Peretz, who says that. Also, the Or Zeruah quotes. I know there's an Or Zeruah here quoting all kinds of people that we never heard of. It's actually not the Or Zeruah talking here. If you look, that's why I started the beginning of the Siman. Eilu Perushei Alokei Aruchos Chol Basar V'Apsakim Perush Rav Shmuel Mifalez. Okay, one of the Bali Tosfos name are Shmuel Mifalez. I don't know how to properly pronounce Falez in French. Maybe it's a silent S. Any French speakers here can tell me how to pronounce it. There's always these stealth signed letters in French. But anyway, this Rav Shmuel Mifalez, I'll call him. He wrote a paper on the Piyat Elokei Ruchos Chol Basar. Okay, those who know me for a while know that I happen to be a little old-fashioned in that I hold from Piyat. The Rishonim took Piyutim, you should know, very, very, very seriously. The Rishonim took Piyutim. I know nowadays it's very makabal to denigrate Piyutim. But the Rishonim took Piyutim very, very seriously. How do we know that? A, the Rishonim wrote Piyutim, which is not the best proof, like Rabbeinu Tam wrote Piyutim, etc. There's still Piyutim that the Yekas say, written by Rabbeinu Tam. But B, they quote them halachically all over. Everyone learned Makos at some point, right? You remember in Makos? In the beginning of Makos, on Daf Gimel, you have the Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, about Milveh Le'eser Shonim, whether Shemitah is Meshametes or not Meshametes, and the Tosos, their quotes, and the Azharos, the Piyut you say on Shavuos, that summarizes poetically all of the mitzvos. It says, Man Eser Kesef Ki Yalvenu B'chatzi Yom of Yazvenu. Right? That's a rhyme, and it's very clever, because the They were clever, those Paitanim. Chatzi Yom Yazmen was a pasuk from Yirmiyah. Even Yeshivish people are allowed to know it because it's from the Haftorah of Bichukosai. So it's Yeshivish to know Navi, that's Haftorah. Chatzi Yom Yazmen is referring to an evil person. Osa Osher Vlob Mishvat, right? Someone who becomes wealthy unethically. Chatzi Yom Yazmen. He'll leave his money with half his life and he'll die young and won't enjoy his money. Good Musser, the Python takes very cleverly. Zman Eser Kesef Ki Yalvenu, if you lend someone money for 10 years, B'chatzi Yom Yazvenu, in half the days of the loan, halfway through the loan, you have to abandon the loan because Shemitah is Meshamet, even though it wasn't due yet.
Rabbeinu Tam paska in Ipcha that Shemitah is not Meshamet. So Rabbeinu Tam actually took the piyut and was magia the piyut. Says you have to add to the piyut because he got the halacha wrong. And he added, the lova mishpat chatzi yom av yazvenu, which is, of course, super clever because the pasuk means whoever makes wealth, shalova mishpat, illegally, will die halfway through his days and abandon it. And he says, it's not the halacha that machatzi yom yazvenu. It's not the halacha you have to mishamet halfway through. Okay, they're very clever also mishamet, unlike us. But they take piyutim very seriously. Throughout Maseches Pesachim, we'll see that Tosfos takes the piyutim Shabbos HaGadol very seriously because what are the piyutim and Shabbos HaGadol about? So some of them are just piyutim to praise Hashem for Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is, of course, a wonderful thing, such as Vayihi Chatzayei HaLaila and Bar Martim Zera Pesach, which we started saying the Pesach Seder, but are really for Shabbos HaGadol. But the main piyut for Shabbos HaGadol is the original Drosha Shabbos HaGadol, is a summary, a chazara of all the Maseches Pesachim and all the Hilchos Pesach. And that's why the Rishonim take it very seriously. I would add that this, the most chashuv piyut for Shabbos HaGadol, is the one in the standard Ashkenazi Machzorim, which is called Alukei Ruchos Lechol Basar, which is written by Yosef of Elam, one of the earliest Rishonim Ashkenaz, even before the Bali Tosos, before Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam. And they take this beat very seriously. The Achronim take it seriously. You already have Magen Avraham, a later Achronim, you know, being mefalpel in the words of this piyot. So, but this is not written by the Ozerua. The Ozerua is named not Rishon Falev, Rabbi Yitzchak of Vienna. This is in the Sefer Ozerua. They stuck into the Sefer Ozerua one simon, which is like 20 pages, of a perish on the piyot by Shmuel Falez, who basically took this piyot as a very, very chashuv machbar, and then on every line of the piyot wrote a perish to explain the halachas behind it and the lomdus behind it. So that is Rav Shmuel Mifalez, the perish. Okay, that was a closed parenthesis of the shevach of the paitanim. Anyway, what does he say here? Elokei Aruchos, Hamagid Sichos, Tehilos, it doesn't start with Elokei Aruchos, Elokei Aruchos, this is Rashi Shmuel Falez's poem. Elokei Aruchos, Hamagid Sichos, Tehilos, Shishbachos, Uyitin Likochos, V'chachma, V'tuchos. Not from Batuach, but V'tuchos. Tuchos means in his insights. V'yu Einav B'kuchos, L'var Nechochos, Zidol Kelokei Aruchos. Now he's going to start. Mekar Kasef, Y Elokei Aruchos, Tarshish Korach, Marash Bechos, Kelokei Aruchos, V'nachat Lishna Nekra. There's the first stanza. Chokla Amal Elokei Ruchos called Basar. Chokla Amal Masar. What is Chokla Amal Masar? Ba'achilas Kovitz. He's kind of worshiping Zeres HaKasav. He says Chok means how is it a Chok? Must be Zeres HaKasav. Seer v'seder shenim for Rosh and Pirish v'mikra v'chem achilas Masar v'shim v'shla. Chokla Amal Masar means, sorry, La'amal Masar, there are things that are before that he gave him a Seer and Torah Shabbat Peh. B'seer and B'ksav. Masar libdo kometz orlar basar. Okay, that's the first stanza. Now he gets into halachas. How is it ksav musar? Why is it ksav musar? It's ksav musar. I'll teach you shor simecha. Umishle kori musar. Because the pasuk from Mishle, which is musar, shekasav shvamini musar. I'll teach you shor simecha. Uksiv lo sasar shalavifu yagich, etc. Fascinatingly, he really darshins. I would have just said ksav musar is a nice phrase. Is a literary flourish. He says Ksav Musar means Mishle. How is it from Mishle? Where is Mishle talking about Pesach? Because Mishle tells you to keep the Rabbanans, right? Yal Titosh, Torah Simecha, and Bigas Chametz and Rabbanan. Once Bigas Chametz and Rabbanan, now he gets into everything. Okay, one of the people he quoted here, some of the Shonen Ashkenazim are so familiar with, is Rabbeinu Menachem. Okay, how do we get started in all this? Because Rabbeinu Menachem, he quotes, says the same thing as Rabbeinu Yechiel, here's another answer. Rabbi Yechiel in the Tosfina Peretz and Rabbeinu Menachem HaChassid in the Or Zeruah, meaning in Rishon Falez's Perush on the Piyot, say Shema Yishkach HaBitol. Why? Bitol is so quick. The problem is it's so efficient and so quick and so easy that you can actually forget to do it. Because it's chick-chack, right? I mean, you know, again, the odds are you're not going to forget to daven Musaf on Rosh Chodesh. You might forget Yalla V'Yavol. Okay, maybe there are other reasons for that, but one of them is because one's a big deal and one's a small thing, right? And therefore, you might forget to, and if you get to Pitul, you follow by Rabba Yimotzei Avada. Therefore, they're Mataka B'dika. B'dika is basically a reminder to do Pitul. If you betriah yourself so much, to do B'dika, then when you finish the B'dika, you'll say the Bittul. And it'll remind you to do bittel. So the big thing reminds you to do the small thing that goes with it. Okay, grape shot. Anyone want to tell me another shot? Anyone want to tell me another possible shot?
You may regret the bittel.
Aha! You may regret the bittel. Who says that, Chaim?
So well, I like
I got that thing from the Rimi Lumiel and Imuke Yosef and the Bartanura. And AB told me that's also.
No, you're cheating. You're quoting who's in the Masifta, that's what it's called. Who's on the Makoros?
No, like one that. Of them that you assigned. AB remembers.
Okay.
The way I like it.
The Shibolei Leket. It's also found in this Or Zeruah, by the way. The very end of the Or Zeruah, he quotes on, he quotes Rashi, by Tayer HaGadol. Yeah, Hatayar Gadol, meaning Rashi, Perish Kachabod, Sachi, Vatel, Bahahi, Dekika, Reborla, Matsu, Gamersham, Bayura, Shane, and Matsu, Gado, Pomisham, Dilmas, and Mechel, Lochashin, and Hech, the Chavi, Lerma, Hatsu, Dil, the Zrichu, Bahamish, and Roa, Gods, Tayar Gadol, meaning Rashi says, because of Bayura, Bayimatsi, ah, what are they going to do? That's only when you see it, when you know it's there, not because of Safi comments. V'od Yesh Lachosh, Shema Yimtsa, what's his ode? It's a little unclear who he's quoting here, but the last line of the Or Zeruah, even if you did bittel, you might withdraw your bittel. You might renege on your bittel, right? You'll find a gluska yafa, a nice cake, and you'll withdraw your bittel, and you'll want to own it again. Okay, that's the Shadam Rashi. There's more famous as a Shibolei Leket. Shibolei Leket quotes his brother of Binyamin. Says the Shibolei Leket, he says, he's trying to explain something else. Why is there no Shechiyanu on Medika? Says, because Medika ain't no Ekar Mitzvah. Now, Torah Bittel Badai, Lo Dechshit Tashvi Storm Gatechim, Targuminu Tevablon, Kul Shaninu, he thinks the opposite of Meiri. No, the main intention of the Torah is Bittel. After all, Tashvi Storm Tevablon. Arisha, Holech Lishkos Beno, Volomolos Beno, Lishkos Pesko, Volomolos Beno, Volechos Us Eir Beis Chama, Venizka Sheish Lachom Tzav Beis, Miyochol Lachso Levar, Volachom Tzav Yavtev, and Lav Yavtev, Lipo, Alamata Shabbitel Ikra Mitzvah. Okay, he reads it very different than everyone else said. Oh, that's one word case. He says, no, the ikr is bittel. Elish is yichukam ledok. So why do we need bedika? Zera shemiyim tzav reshuso lachar bittel gluska yifefiya bedaito alei. Benif alei shedim reshuso kadish yizkeba lachar pesach. Benim tzav over alei bebal yira u bebal yimotzi. Alkein chivicham libdol taps achrot. Okay, so that's what he explains. Why do you need shechiyana bedika? Because it's not the main thing. It's just a side takana. Just a side problem. What's the side problem? Again, he says the same thing as the Odi Shlomar in the Rashmul Falaiz, which I don't know if it's himself or still Rabbi Nachman Chassid. He says that, and we know who says it, it's Shmuel Elekin quoting his brother, Rabbi Yamin. He says, the problem is if you do Bittel, you could renege on your Bittel. If I find a nice Hostess Twinkie, or Hostess Twinkie is kosher? I hope I'm not using trafe example. But whatever it is, I find a nice Hostess Twinkie in the middle of Pesach, or anytime after she shows, and I have in mind, again, I'm not a guy, I'm not going to eat it now, good thing this is still here, boy, will I have something delicious after Pesach, then I've reneged on my bittel, and now I own it again, and now I violate my Rabbi Matze. So therefore, the Umataka, I should do Bedika, because if I search for everything and burn it, there's no going back. You can't renege on burning something. It's already gone. So that's the chash, says the Shibolei Leket.
Is that really like a charata? It seems like the lashon of the Shibolei Leket is that one's mezaka. So it seems like it's a brand new, like that's like a new kinyan.
Fair enough. I didn't mean a charata as in Bittel Mafreya. I meant like a charata, and therefore now you're calling me Kama Lahaba in a Hanami. Or Zeruah. We're not sure exactly who's talking here. His last answer, what does he says? Shema Yimtsa Gluska Yefefia Vidaito Alav, and the Gemara says Daito Lave. Right, maybe if you do Bittel, you'll find something and then you'll decide you don't want to do Bittel anymore, and you'll decide you want to own it and you'll violate my Rabbi. You might say, why is this such a big Kiddush? Doesn't sound like the most crazy chash in the world. It's a big Kiddush because it seems like the opposite of a Gemara.
the Gemara says in Daf Vav Amud Beis that says the Gemara in Daf Vav Amud Beis Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, like three quarters of the way through, Habodik Tzor Shivatel. Notice the opposite. We're trying to figure out why Hamivatel Tzor Shivdok. Right? What are we trying to ask? Lama Hamivatel Tzoras Shivdok. Hi, Taima. The Gemara is a different question. Why is Habodek Tzor Shivatel? Meaning, we're going to make an assumption now. This assumption will be questionable. But we'll make a mainstream assumption now, which you've seen already inside in the Ran and most Rishonim, right? Mita Oraisa, you have to get rid of your Chametz somehow. You could do it through Bittul or do it through Bedika. Mita Rabbanan, you need both. How do I know you need both? It says in the Dalar days that even after Bittul, they're Mitakin Bedika. And it says in the Vavon days that even after Bedika, they're Mitakin Bittul. Mita Rabbanan, you need to do both. Why do you need to do both Mita Rabbanan? So in the Vavon days, the Gemara explained. Right? Let me explain to you again this chiddush of the Shibboleth Leket is like this. Midrabbanan. On the Bava Mendez it says, Habodek Tzor Shivatel. It's not enough to Bdika. You also need Bittul. Why? Shema Yemtza Luska Yefefia, etc. Why? Because maybe even after Bedika, you might have missed something. You'll find it on Pesach and violate by Rabbi Yotze. On the Dalet of the days, it says, not in these words, but Hamevatel Sarech Sheyevdok. Doesn't say in those words. That's what it says. Midoraisa, you're guilty of Bittul. Midrabbon, and they're attacking Bedika. Why? Doesn't say. That's exactly what all the Yishonim are arguing now. Why is Hamavatel Tzor Shiyivdo? Why is Bittul not good enough and you also have to do Bedika? We don't know. That's exactly what the Gemara doesn't explain. And Tosfos says Shem Yom La'achlo. And the Meiri says Rashi also agrees. He was just talking historically. And the Ran says his shot. Rabbeinu Yechiel and Rabbeinu Menachem Achazit say their shot. Says the Shibboleth Leket. That's also because of Shema Yimsa Gluska Yefefia. That's a big kiddush. The Gemara says Gluska, Shema Yimsa Gluska about the exact diametrical opposite. And the Shibboleth Leket is applying that to our question. So it's a big kiddush. A, if the Gemara says in one place, why on Daf Bavam Beis, and they meant it, why didn't they say it in Daf Dalet Beis? And B, the Gemara says it about one thing. How can you say about the opposite? He says no. It makes sense. Just like Bittul's not good enough and you should have Bedika in case you miss something and then you want it. Bittul's not good enough, you should do Bedika in case you find something and you want it. Okay, it's a big kiddush, right? This is what it's really I could do. If anyone disagrees, by the way, with what I just claimed the Shibboleth Leket did, don't raise your hand now. Save it. You'll have an even more fun opportunity to raise your hand next year. But what the Shibboleth Leket seems to be doing is taking something off of the base of one question and using it to answer the exact opposite question, which is unanswered in the Dalet base. Okay, could be. You have to come up with something. So hey, Kena, everyone else thinks better come up with something that's not found in the Gemara about the opposite question. He thinks no. Better come up with something that has a buffer in the Gemara. Okay, that's the Shibboleth Leket's answer. There's one more answer, which I don't know if the Masifta points is that. I haven't found the Achrona making a big deal of this. But I happened to notice that I think there's one more answer, which is the Rav Yah. Says the Rav Yah. What does the Rav Yah say? Let's look at this Rav Yah. You have to read the Rav Yah carefully. Says the Rav Yah. The Herakam of the Pesach and Maskino, Digas Chametz, Midrabanan, Midarais, Bitli Amasagi. That's the Abdal and Rebeis. The Iker Atam Shel Bitl, Kidipira Shabenu Tam, Dabi Bitl, Mitam Hefker. Okay, we'll get to that. Rebbe Tam says Bitl is Hefker. This is a tremendous machlokus Rishonim. Later on in Abdal, when the Gemara discusses Bitl, is Bitl Hefker? Is Bittul equivalent to the halachic concept called hefker, which we're familiar with? or is Bethel a totally different halachic concept or something in between? That is what the Rishonim struggle with in Daf Dalet. But most of the Rishonim Ashkenaz don't struggle with this at all. They assume Bethel is just good old-fashioned Hefker, meaning there's no new halachic category called Bethel. It's just a new name for the pre-existing halachic category of Hefker. Okay, that's the Rav Yossi's. The Yesh Merabosai, by the way, Agav, you should know that, we'll get to it, but that seems to be our minhag, because the Rishoni Ashkenaz added to the Bittel. In the old days, they used to say, Kol Chamir V'Chamiya, Di'ika Bershusi, etc., etc. Li'batel Ka'afredara. And the Rishoni Ashkenaz added, Li'batel Levi Hefker Ka'afredara. And that's at least what we Ashkenazim say to this very day. I haven't checked the Sfaradi Haggadah, is what they say. Anyway, says the Rav Yah. The Eishar Rabbos says, Shemat Shirom Kol Chamir Di'ika Besadein, Kuli He Hefker Luntel Levi Ka'afred, the days of Rav Yah. That was a new Chiddush of the Ashkenazim. They added the word Hefker. To that's what Yesh Rosh Hashemati. What was the Kiddush of Rabosai Shemati? Yesh Rabosai. The other word Hefker. Fine, but that's related. Pain Hefker. Miam Tomer being a Hefker Shlosh Nei Adam. Tosa already asked the Avdalim Beis. Don't you need Hefker in front of three people? There's a din. What do we mean by you need Hefker in front of three people? Doesn't literally mean. It's not that literally you need Hefker in front of three people. If I in front of just five will say this is Hefker and he takes it, he's not a goslin. But it means that if you want to use Hefker Lekula, you have to do it in front of three people. Like, for example, we have this Halach L'maisa, okay? And maybe everyone who joined us this morning is probably in Eretz Yisrael. Either that or they keep very late hours. Yep, everyone looks like they're in Eretz Yisrael. Noah said he's in the dorms. Yitzhak said he's in the dorms. Ari Berman, good to see you, has a tris behind him in his background, so he must be in Eretz Yisrael. So, the Trumas or Meister is a big Yeshua in Eretz Yisrael, right? It's a big zchus that we can take Trumas or Meister. So, one of my favorite parts of living in Eretz Yisrael is that I have a fruit tree, and when I pick the fruit, I get to the mitzvah of Trumas or Meister. However, sometimes, it's not so practical to take Trumas or Meister. Like, for example, I once had, in the end it died, a basil plant. In my front porch. Okay, also, a little too many bugs in the front porch. Could have moved it inside if it had lived. But I had a basil plant in my front porch. And, you know, it's not so practical to take basil as a spice. It's not so practical to take trumas or maestros. Because it's not like a tree. You pick 100 fruits and you give trumas or maestros. You know, you pick one leaf at a time, three leaves at a time. So, what do you do to get out of Trumas or Meistros? Hefker is part of Trumas or Meistros. Everyone knows the Eitzes to make it Hefker. They're using Hefker as a Kula. There's a rule that when you're using Hefker as a Kula halachically, when you want to rely on Hefker halachically, you have to make sure it's sincere. How do they know it's sincere? I mean, you're a bun and they're attacking. You need to be Mafker in front of three people. You need to be Mafker in front of three people. Why in front of three people? Because you have to show you're really sincere. Why does three people mean you're sincere? Could have had other theories, but the real answer is because if there are three people, one of them can come and take it, and the other two could be Adim, that you're really mafker it. So that's the way we paskin, at least. He mentions more than one opinion here. Anyway, we paskin need Hefker in front of three people, okay? Real life story. I try to be very sincere and very mafker on the halachos. I went in front of three people, and I was mafker my plant. And one of them was a very fine yid, but not such a talmud chacham, and just thought I didn't want it anymore, and came to my house and took it. In the end, yeah, I was potter from Trumas or Meistros because I no longer had such a plant. Worked better than I thought. But anyway, good. I'm glad. That shows the wisdom of Chazal. Now, says the Rav Yah, he has the kasha, which all the Rishonim has this kasha. Hefker needs three. It's a takana drabon, and then Hefker doesn't work even on three. If it's not in front of three people, no one does good in front of three people. So how does that work? So v'nirali diyishlom k'armin parak ein bein amuda amri shemalevi dvar Torah fil be'echad abi Hefker umat amrim like shlosha etc. Vladina fil bein alvi natzlo yishumalevi deraisa midar raisa. You need in front of one, which really means just in front of yourself. Midar raisa, you don't need three people. It's only drabonan. Hilchach mid rabbanan be'inam bedikas chametz. It's a fascinating Rav Yah. What's he saying here? You have to follow what he's saying. I think I'm right in my appearance of what he's saying. His kasha is, Midrabbanan, Hefker doesn't work if you don't have three people. So Midrabbanan, Bittel doesn't work if you don't have three people. What's the answer?
Yeah, but midoraisa works bifnei atzmo. And midrabanan, therefore midrabanan, you need bedikas chametz. Okay, then he deals with the other day in the Amorim and he gets to work out. That's not an issue right now. What's he saying? Therefore, hilkach midrabanan bein bedikas chametz. Hilkach is a therefore, because of this, then that. Reason, result. What's the reason you need bedikas chametz midrabanan, says the Ravya? Because they made a takana that hefker needs three people, and no one does bittul in front of three people. It really sounds to Rav Yah like they didn't originally decide to make a takana of bedikas chametz. It's not that Chazal came one day and said, let's make a takana of bedikas chametz. They came one day and said, let's make a general takana. No hefker is going to work halachically to get you out of your obligations unless you're doing it in front of three people. Ah, then they saw that in the Bittul Chametz, no one did Bittul Chametz in front of three people. It wasn't shaykh, it wasn't practical for everyone to do Bittul Chametz in front of three people. So therefore, they said, okay, and therefore you need Bedika. It's just a side effect of more general takana that hefker needs three people. Now, in some ways, it's similar to the Ran, meaning you might not be sincere, but it's not a specific takana. So it's a general takana, so I didn't leave myself enough room, really, for this Rav Yah. We'll try to squeeze him in. Says the Rav Yah. It is a side effect. Side effect of the takana drabanan, the hefker bifnei shlosha. They made a takana drabanan, hefker needs three people. And as part of the takana drabanan, hefker needs three people. Therefore, all bittul chametz doesn't work with drabanan. Now I've explained why it's only drabanan. Midoraisa, hefker needs zero people. Needs just myself, so bittul works. Midrabanan, hefker doesn't work if there aren't three people, so my bittul doesn't work if there aren't three people. And therefore, I need to do bedika. Okay, someone will ask on the Rav Yah, and what if I do bittul in front of three people? Do I still need to do bedika? My intuition is that he would say, yeah. It's that once they saw that now they made this rule that hefker needs three people, bittul doesn't work anymore. Then they made a little plug that everyone should do bedika, and they didn't want to be machalik between someone who did bittul in public and did bittul in private. So it seems like he would admit there is a takana. It's not just they said, we're possibly any private hefkers, now mainly have to do bittul. Bedika. It's that we're possibly any private hefkers, now most people have to do bedika, and now make a rule that everyone has to do bedika. Okay, so it is, but it's a little different than the Ran. The Ran says they're worried about everyone's subjective feeling in their hearts. The Rav Yah says, no, this came out of an objective takana they made, Melder Kula, that applies to Shmuel's Maestros, that applies maybe to Kalayim if that has an effect, that applies to Tzitzis, that applies to everything. Everything. You want to not put on Tzitzis because you make your clothing after it has to be in front of three people, etc., etc. Etc. Okay, so here's all the different shots we have in Rashi. Again, you could take a historical angle in Rashi. Let's just and say Rashi was talking about the original days before the Rabbanim got involved, when it was just the Torah.
Rebbe,
Rashi was talking about the Mishnah's days, and even the Bittles in the Mishnah, routine Bittles, the Kadosh Amorim, which the
May I ask a question?
Nonetheless, you still have to explain. Okay, so practically, why do you have to do it? Says me, even Rashi is talking historically, practically agrees with Rashi. Everyone else tries to figure out, no, let's make Rashi practical. Practically, even nowadays after Bittul, you need Bittika to get out of Bali Rabbi Matzeh. Why? Bittul gets you out of Bali Rabbi Matzeh. We saw four answers. The Ran says, Bittul gets you out of Bali Rabbi Matzeh, but you might not mean it in your heart subjectively. Shibala Lekit says, Bittul gets you out of Bali Rabbi and Yechiel says, Bittul gets you out of Bali Rabbi Matzeh, but you might forget to do it. Shibala Lekit says, Bittul gets you out of Bali Rabbi Matzeh, but you might find a nice cake and decide you want it and negate your override your bittul. And the Rav Yah says bittul gets you out of Bali Rabbi Matzeh, but bittul is hefker. And the Rabbanim made a general rule not to rely on hefker if there aren't three people. And since there usually aren't three people, they made a general rule that you need bedika.
Okay. Rebbe, may I ask the question?
What I have to say about Rashi?
Question.
To add about Rashi, please feel free.
May I ask the question?
Of course.
If you put the Shibulei Aleket on the side that the Bittul Chametz is Hefker, So how is it going to make any difference whether I change my mind later? If I already did, if I'm talking about Hefker, means I did a Mamish Kenyan. And changing my mind doesn't change anything unless I connect the Chetitz again.
I don't think that's a difficult question. Because I don't think the Shmuel like it said explicitly whether or not it is Hefker. As a matter of fact, I'm note to think perhaps not. Even if it was Hefker, you don't have a, you don't have a good kasha. Because keep in mind, where does the guy find the chametz? He finds the chametz in his house. If he finds the chametz in his house, as soon as he wants to own it, he does a kinyan chatzer. So he doesn't need to do any, even though Hefker is a kinyan, it's no longer his property. If it's in his house, all he has to do is want to own it, and he's a kinyan chatzer. And therefore, he was calling it back. So it's still very dangerous. Through kinyan chatzer.
Can I ask something about the Shibole Aleket?
Uh-huh.
I find the language a little bit confusing. Because he says, "V'nicha le'shtei b'shuso, k'dei sh'yishka b'lachar ha'pesach."
So, correct, which sounds exactly not like what I just said to Joel, right? Nichalei sheber shuso k'dei sheyizka b'la'achar ha'pesach. Is it yizka b'la'achar ha'pesach means he doesn't want it yet. Bershuso means he already has it now.
And on the other hand, he says you'll be over and by your, that will be enough to be over and by your oil by your mitzvah. Right.
So, I think the lush is confusing. Is that it's Bershuso now or that it's Yizkaba later? Lemaisa, I will say, I'm not going to fully answer this yet, but I can think of two ways to answer this. Number one, we could lob Davka a little, which is never the ideal, and say, really what it means is he wants to own it now. And that's why it just means he's not going to do anything with it until after Pesach. But that's not Meduyik in his lush. He says Yizkaba after Pesach. The simple shot, or rather the Pashup shot in the Shmuel Aleket is that, not like I said to Joel, he doesn't actually want to own it until after Pesach. But he's happy now that it's in his possession, right? Possession is not quite the same as ownership, right? Those of us who remember the Bavas know the difference in possession and ownership. It's Nicha that it's in his possession now so that he can own it later. In which case, the big finish to Shibale Aleket is that even if it's only Nicha that being your possession now, possession, what do I mean by possession versus ownership? Possession, I mean, under your control in your house. It's Nicha that it's in my house under my thumb now because I want to own it later. And then the Shibale Aleket would make me a chiddush that even if I don't want to own it now, as long as I'm happy that it's in my possession now, that's enough to violate by your Vayimatze. Is that chiddush true? Is that chiddush not true? Is there takdim? Is there precedent for that chiddush? Do other rishonim hold that shita? I'm going to have to say, refer to what I said earlier. We'll get to all these sugyas. We'll get through all these sugyas. But these are the. But you're right. We'll have to come back to this formulation of Shibale Aleket. What does he mean when he seems to say you could violate by Rabbi Motze by wanting it to be bershuso even if you don't want zechia? That is the chiddush.
All I was trying to say was that he doesn't agree with Rabbi Tam.
Now that Amy pointed out this lashon, it does sound that way. Fair enough. Okay, great. Correct.
Rabbi, can I ask about the Meiri?
Yes.
Is it possible to read the Meiri that he's saying that the Torah's expectation with achila is that you do bedika? That adds sort of to the ruach of Pesach. Even though you'd say with this, with Hatchila, the Torah, rather, Ikar Abitul is, Ikar the Kavanah of the Torah is that you make this a serious inyan, and Chachamim made it a chovah, Shema Yavolechol.
In your attempt in these last few seconds to formulate what you're trying to say, you understand how subtle and difficult that is. Right, what Shmuel's trying to say, I'm actually going to agree with you. But I'm pointing out that Shmuel's trying to say something which is a little tricky in the Meiri. He's trying to say that even though, as far as the Torah is concerned, you're Yotze either way, but like it's really better to do Bedika than to do Bittel. The Torah really wants you to do Bedika and not Bittel, it's just that you are Yotze either way. Now, I think there's a lot to be said for what Shmuel just pointed out. I don't know if I can prove that's what the Meir meant, but he didn't mean. I think there's a lot of merit to what Shmuel says. However, in order to, I think it could be that in order to properly evaluate what Shmuel said, maybe we're going to have to learn a little more of Maseches Pesachim, and then come back to it. So I think Shmuel's asking the right question. When we say, again, that need to arise of the Mithali Al-Masaki, not Lisa, I didn't say it, if I didn't say it, right? The Gemara said it. When we say need to arise of Mithali Al-Masaki, does that mean, as we've been assuming until now, Mita Raisa Bittel is 100% fine? It's just that Midra Bonin, they had a reason to be talking Medika because of some sort of Gzeira, right? And everything we've had here is like Gzeira. Lest you eat it, lest you don't mean your Bittel, lest you forget to do Bittel, lest you find a Gluska and you want to keep it, lest you, lest people are insincere in their Hefker. Or Shmuel wants to say something a little more bold, which is, that no. It's really neither rice and bittul yamasagi, but the Torah really wants you to do bedika, not bittul yama. Shmuel recognizes that's a chiddush. If you're saying this as drush, it's nice drush. If you're saying this halacha, then it's very subtle chiddush. So I'm not saying that what Shmuel says is impossible. It might be more impossible, but I'm not saying what Shmuel says is impossible. I'm just saying we have to think about it.
It sounds like that's what the Meir is saying when he says the af hashbata af al pish anu mefarshim ota lashon bitul midlo katab behegat varo mikol makom afiru mezek shikar enyan hu habiur min habayit min haolam. That remiza, if that's what the Torah means, that wouldn't be remiza. That would just be what the Torah is saying. Because
fair enough. What was the truth is that here, okay, we might differentiate between the Meir. Maybe Shmuel is right. Let's read that line again. What is the you say Bittel is only an eighth of the Alma, and even if Bittel is found hinted in the Pasuk, that's not what the Pasuk means. Ikara inyan hu abir min abayis o min ha'olam. Okay, Shmuel Amoda, what does he mean by ikara inyan? If the pasuk is merames to two options, then what makes one more ikar than the other? So it sounds like there's more of it's a big chiddush. There's more of a preference me to araisa to do one rather than the other. More of a preference between rice to do one rather than the other. Again, it's going to be hard for me to stick this all back into Rashi. Why? Because Rashi says, Shul Yavor Lov Bal Yor Bal Yimatzei. To not violate Bal Yor Bal Yimatzei, it's hard to take preference for one rather than the other. Either you violated or you didn't. And if you want to say, to be Mekayim the Asay of Kashbisu, there's a better kingdom of Tashbisu if you do it more powerfully than less powerfully, which about this Meir is Rames. It's not going to be a defensive Rashi. Right? It's not going to be a defensive Rashi anymore. Because Rashi could have said, right, both can is a chametz, kedeng le baro le kayim mitzvah Tashbisu. Rashi says, by Rabbi Yimotze. But Shmuel suggesting in the, again, it's not going to be a defensive Rashi, but based on the Meiri, maybe it's a better kiyum of Tashbisu somehow. Maybe it's a you can Mekayim Tashbisu L'Mahadrin, as it were. This is also a chiddush that usually the mitzvah say either you're Mekayim and you're not Mekayim it, but we do know that after all you can have a Mohadulub or not Mohadulub. Okay, it's not such a good proof necessarily because that's a separate din of Zakeli Yanvehu, perhaps. But maybe it's some sort of, I don't want to say hiddur, because it's definitely not Zekilim Yadvehu, and it's definitely like not Mahajj Menahajj nowadays, means to be Choshesh Shitas Yachid, to make sure you'll see all the Shitas. But maybe it's some sort of enhanced Kiyum of Tashbisu. It's a better Tashbisu if you search and destroy than if you just do Bittel. But you're Yotze either way. That's a better Kiyum, okay? That is
Rabbi.
That's not Rashi though. Give me a second. That's not Rashi. That's not Rashi, and that's not Tosfos, right?
Maybe what the Meiri is saying, the question that you have to consider is whether Tashbisu was motivated by Bayuel, by Matzeh, or whether Tashbisu was motivated by the Isur Achilo.
Right. Or a third option. Okay, what I'm going to say then is maybe we're going to have to come back to this inyan, because this will tie into really all the kashas of the Rishonim and Daf Dalet. Right, this will be a necessary inyan. Let's leave Tashbisu as an interesting question for you. Could it be? Clearly no one said in order to do Tashbisu, meaning someone could have gone further, right? Someone could have even go so far as to say, well, Bittul is good enough to be not violated by Rabbi Yimatzeh, but if you want to be kind Tashbisu, you have to do Bittika. Okay, no one has said that. Even Shmuel only said in the Iri, it's a better hume of Tashbisu. No one says because of Tashbisu, at least I haven't found anyone. And neither is the Meiri. He's just thrown this in as background for Rabbi Yimatzeh for Rashi somehow. Could you have said that it's not by Rabbi Yimatzeh, it's not Shem Yavalachlo? It's to have a better kiyom of Tashbisu. Interestingly, even the Meiri, is he quote Rashi here? Let's see. Pirish Gedol Erebanim. He's trying to explain Rashi.
But so Rabbi,
he's in his background to Rashi. He doesn't think this is Rabbi, the Echel HaDavar. But, so it's an interesting question. No one says because it's Tashbisu. Even the Meiri says, well, the main intention of Tashbisu, and that's what Rashi meant, it's to get around by Rabbi Yimatzeh, it's to get around by, not to get around, to avoid by Rabbi Yimatzeh, you do Tashbisu, and this is the main intention of Tashbisu, etc. Even that the Meiri is only throwing this in his background as a side point of Rabbi Yimatzeh. It's interesting why we'll have to come back when we try to get into Tashbisu properly, how Tashbisu relates to Bittul, how Tashbisu relates to Bedika, and whether that can be part of the explanation. So we'll leave that as a good, more than hint, a formulation of Meiri. The Meiri thinks it's the main intention of Tashbisu. He doesn't say better, just says main intention. Could it be that there's some better here of Tashbisu to do Bedika, as opposed to Bittul? It could be. That's not what any Rishonim, including the Meiri, are saying here. Interestingly, I don't have a strong mucker for it, even though it's an attractive smara. So we'll leave that a little bit with Sarhian for now.
Ready?
Yes.
Ready? On Daf Zion and Aleph, the Rashi makes it clear that there's no preference. That might be why it doesn't work with the Rashi as well, aside from the way Rebbe was pointing it out. Rashi says, Ma biyadu lazos yoser, hashpatz b'leiv zehu biuro. Right? Like, there's no reason to do anything different. Like, that's the maximal form of doing biur. And when in the sugya about the Talmud, who's Yoshev Lefnei Rabbah.
I'm okay. I mean, you have to say the Rashi in context, but perhaps. Okay. Now, this is what we have to say about Rashi. Let's go for a moment to Tosfos then. What does Tosfos say? Shem Yavol Achlo. Very reasonable. Pshat. After all, you should be afraid that people eat treif things, right? We don't like to be around usher things because you might do an avera. We have lots of zeros against usher things. What bothers Tosfos, of course, is that there's 100 things that are usher to eat in the Torah, and we don't have to do bedika for all of them. Meaning, we're even allowed to keep them or to own them. We certainly don't have to do bedika to go check if I have any treif things anywhere in my house. So how come we have a gzera bedika by Shemesh, Shelo Yavol Achlo by Chameitz and not by anything else? That's the question Tosfos asks on himself. Why Dafka Chameitz, not anything else? So ask Tosfos. Let's go to Tosfos. Shema Yavol Le'Achlo. Why only Chameitz? Valid question. So Tosfos answers that, says Tosfos. It says, on the one hand, like, we're all very afraid of chametz on Pesach, but on the other, you're used to eating it all the time. V'lo dami l'basar b'chala ba'or lo klai akarim sheisurim noheg iser ola. Okay, so Tosa says that all the things are always treif. We're not worried, you'll forget. They're always treif. But chametz, which, you know, you could easily wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and forget what day it is. We're afraid you might forget and eat the chametz. That only leaves with one problem. But nazir nami isure shari lachrini. What about nazir? Nazir, the truth is, I don't know why dafka nazir. It could be any nadarim, really. Maybe nazir is just an example. After all, nazir is also lo b'dilei minei. He was used to drinking wine his whole life until right now, right? It's only something that all of a sudden became usur. So why doesn't a nazir have to dig in his house for wine? It's not a crazy idea. Maybe Varz Rabban a long time ago, maybe I would have made that takana, right? When you take it in a ziras, you have to go home and get look through your whole house and throw out all the wine. So why doesn't a nazir have to do that? After all, it's a little bit dealing in a. So Tosa says, right, so what's one answer? Let's just put one answer. And why not a nazir? So Tosa says, because it's mutter to other people. Okay, what does it mean it's mutter to other people? So what? Or the simple shot is, it's just not practical to have to search and get rid of it from your house because the other people in your house want to drink it. Right? And therefore, it's like it might be a logical idea to tell the nazir not to have any wine in the house. But what about the other people in the house? They'll need to drink wine. So it could be that that's what those means. Just the other people need to drink it. The Tosfos of Peretz really goes to town on this question from Nazir and gives a gazillion answers as to why we don't make the gzera on Nazir. What does he say here? Beim tor mishna. Mikol makom kasha. The mikol makom mishna meyayin hanazir. Yein hanazir to also ate el hashol nefresh meyayin. Filu hachi muta hashol se beis avlo gazrinan. The Meiri, when he quotes Tosfos, let's put it on the board. What about Nazir? There are a gazillion answers. Says Tosfos, Mutter la Acherim, which I think just means practically the Acherim. I don't know what it means. The truth is, Tosfos in Peretz takes it a different way. Says Tosfos in Peretz, he says in one answer, Lo Gazru Misham Adam Echad. There are many takana for one person. That only make takanas for everyone. And the Meiri quotes this idea of Tosfos. He quotes it a little differently. Says the Meiri. Sorry. Va'achirim srichem lishtos. The Meiri also quotes a different shot. Right? If you look in the Meiri here, when he quotes the Tosfos, I know we discussed. We quoted his analysis of Rush, but he also has an analysis of Tosfos. And he says here, when he quotes Tosfos, give me half a second. 1 second. Let me just find it. Okay. He says it all the year. He's not discussing Tosfos here. He's discussing why the Chumash did not say by Rabbi Matzli by Nazir. So he was not explaining this. Tosfos, maybe you could say, fine, we'll put it maybe. The Meir is not discussing Zir Rabbanim. He was discussing why the Torah never went by Rabbi Matzli. Yesh Lomar, let's call it Al-Pi the Meiri. Again, what are you by Al-Pi the Meiri? He wasn't answering this question. He was answering a different question. But Al-Pi the Meiri, you could say that Acher Mitzrif and Lishtos. And there are other answers. What else did the Tosfos and Peretz say? He gives another answer. He says, Rak Bechameitz Sheyesh Bimino Heter. What do we mean? Again, don't imagine you are... I actually do. Even for Ashkenazis worked out days. But keep in mind, in those days, they didn't eat flat, crunchy matzahs. Right? Matzahs were just pitas. They were chanzdik pitas and pesachdik pitas. So he says, no, they weren't gozer on wine for a nazir, because wine for a nazir, all wine is usher to him, so it's easy for him to remember. They were only gozer and chametz because there's chametz de pita and pesach de pita. Even nowadays for us Ashkenazim, right? There is chametz de cake and there's pesach de cake. There's chametz de bisli and pesach de bisli. As a matter of fact, nowadays there's chametz de bread and pesach de bread. It's just the pesach de bread is not, you know, bread with pita, which is baked the old-fashioned way without letting it rise for 18 minutes. The pesach de bread is made of tapioca starch. So, says, therefore, we don't need to make Xeron wine. There's no fake, nuzzer-worthy wine. But we do need to make Xeron here. Okay, so says the Rebbe, though, we didn't make Xeron our lot, even though there's kosher apples and treif apples, because we're bedilim yidei. We didn't make Xeron available, even though there's treif and kosher, because we're bedilim yidei. We didn't make Xeron nuzzer, even though he's not bedilim yidei, because all wine is usher. But chametz, where some bread is mutter and some bread is usher, and it's low bedilim yidei, they made a Xeron.
Okay, then you can have another idea that you Terrence, what about if you have a house where you have a Kohen and a non-Kohen and there's Truma that only the Kohen can eat, the Hedgehog can't eat it? It's the same, looks like the same thing. They should be Gozer, that they should do a
B'dikah. No, because it's B'dilim Yinei, because the Hedgehog is always used to avoiding Chametz. This is only a question of the Nazar, who has a new Isser on him. But the Tsar, his whole life was used to avoiding chametz. So even though it all looks the same, his whole life, he's used to avoiding chametz. So he'll check to make sure what's chametz, what's chulin. Right, keep in mind, these answers are only what about the nazir. But if you're bedilim yinei your whole life, even if it looks the same, if you're bedilim yinei, that's okay. Right? He says, no, the nazir is... takes his... personal iser. I would maybe not take some more seriously, but I would say he suggests why the Torah again. Why did the Torah not go against another? He says no. Libo al nidre atzmo. Meaning, since he himself decided to be a nazir, there's something special about him, he won't forget. So it's the chametz, which, if I'm special, I don't forget. No one forgets that they're special. You guys make me special, make me president or something, don't worry, I won't forget that I'm special. Everyone likes to be special. It's only a chametz, which you're not special, that someone might forget. Okay, so there are many answers to get out of...
Wouldn't it be Talway and what type of nazir he was? Like, if he was a nazir shimshon, that makes sense. But if he was only a nazir for shloshim yom, I would think that the same thing would apply to Pesach as chametz.
No, because you'd say, but since he decided to be a nazir, he remembers it better because it's more special.
Okay.
Now the Ran here takes a slightly different approach. What is the Ran? What did the Ran throw in? Again, it's always hard to tell whether this is an answer to nazir or whether this should be a new thing. But says the Ram and the Mordechai, what factor do the Ram and the Mordechai throw in?
The Karis.
Karis, exactly. Now, it's not justice or Karis. If it's justice or Karis, then we should also have to bedika from Dam and Chelev. And maybe Pigle and Nosar, okay, maybe it's the different goes or touch him. We should certainly have to do Bedika from Dam and Chelev. It's also a Zekares. They have to say Kares plus Lobedilimine. Okay, if someone wanted to throw that into Lobedilimine and make that answer to Nazir, then I guess you could see it either way. So, one approach is that, okay, it's lobedilimine, or it maybe it's kares plus lobedilimine. That's why we're more gozer, because it's more of a potential michshol. Okay, the Radvaz, when he's asked this question, he throws in another factor, which is Isuri Hana'a, which is funny, sort of Tolstoy threw in Isuri Hana'a at the beginning. Why aren't we gozer only Isuri Hana'a? You might think, oh, Isuri Hana'a is a relevant factor. But clearly not. Because then he says, oh, why weren't they gozer by Yain Lenozer? Yain Lenozer is not Osir Hana'a. Apparently, Tosus doesn't think that Isuri Hana'a is the Iker point, but says the Radvaz at first. The Radvaz in his Havamina. What does he say? Kares plus Lobedilimine plus Isuri Hana'a. Okay, all these factors combine to make it something that you have to be really, really miserable about, because the Chashash Mitchell is so strong. Why it's so strong? It's so easy to violate, it's Osir Hana'a, it's so hard to violate, it's Kares, and you're likely to forget because it's Lobedilimine. Okay, Tosos then, however, takes a slightly different approach. Let's go to the second answer of Tosos. Continuing in Tosos. Inami. Shani chame shechmira bo Torah labor b'yira b'yimatze ichmira chacham and lived o glavar of yilei for the bitlo yishom dema asi le mechle. Okay. Because the Torah was extra machmer in chametz, likewise the chachamim were extra machmer in chametz. If the Torah was machmer, then the chachamim were also machmer. They followed the lead of the Torah. Then Tosfos gets into a whole technical issue here, which is, hold on, if you're only going to say when the Torah was machmir, if it's only when the Torah is machmir, then what about kinds of chametz Torah wasn't machmir bad? How about chametz noksha? How about the tarobas chametz? Does by rabbi yamatzeh apply or not? Does bedika apply or not? You know, could we apply bedika when there's no by rabbi yamatzeh? And Tosfos says, no, in the end, you can really work out whatever you want. You could say, even though here we're making bedika tolling on by rabbi yamatzeh, because the Torah was machmir on by rabbi yamatzeh, likewise, there are banim were machmir, shema yavalachlo, since they saw the Torah was so machmir, they also decided to be machmir. But he says it could be that they made it a little plug. Even if there's a certain kind of chametz the Torah didn't decide to be machmir, the chacham still decided to be machmir. So we're going to skip that for now. That's a totally different, maybe a totally different derech. These are all basically some form of lobedilimine. Right? It all starts with lobedilimine. All starts with lobedilimine. However, the Tosfos and the Inami, I think it's an Inami is the lotion he uses. Inami. Kevan Shah Torah Echmira Allah Chachamim. Echmira loves it. The Torah was Machmir, the Chachamim were also Machmir. Okay. Now, the question is just, what does that mean? It makes sense, right? The truth is that, you know, the Torah is good enough for us, right? If the Torah was machmir, that's right. Torah is very machmir in something. It doesn't just mean that, okay, now we have to keep that rule.
the Torah's macro saying is the value to be macro on it. So we're value to the Torah. The Torah thought that this was more chomer than every other iser, because no by Rabbi Matze on Yain Lanazar and Arlan and Akvay Kerem and on Chaleb and Dam and Pigel and Nosar, etc., etc. Then the Chazal think it's also good for us Chazal to be machmir about it. They learn values from the Torah. Okay, wonderful. The question is just, this a little bit begs the question. Because why was the Torah so machmir on chametz? Meaning, right, that's interesting, right? Now you could say, I don't care. The Torah is machmir, Chazal are machmir, we don't need tamei hamitzvos. Many of the Rishonim felt that we do, felt that this was not a really, you know, not necessarily philosophical Tamei Mitzvos, it's a shock question, right? You could ask, but why was the Torah so machmir? Tak, it's a good question. Why does the Torah say, Bal Yerubah Yimotzi for Chametz on Pesach and not for everything else? Don't say, because it's also Rana. A lot of things are also Rana. Don't say, because you're high of courage for eating it. A lot of things are high of courage for eating it. And even a lot of things are asura, and also high of course for eating them. Right? Or at least some things.
Can't you say it's because of kores?
A lot of things, chelev and dam is also high of kores. You ever heard of Rabbi Motze for chelev and dam? Adrabi. You know what the Torah says? What does the Torah say about chelev? No one knows what the Torah says about chelev? V'chelev nevela v'chelev treifa. One of the few places in the Torah where the Torah explicitly says Mutar Ba'anah. The Gemara in the second paragraph of Pesachim. I don't know if anyone has been here since why we learned Pesachim last time. We learned the second paragraph. That was a long time ago. The second paragraph of Pesachim, they have drushas for everything that's Mutar Ba'anah. However, Yavo knows it's Mutar Ba'anah. But it says in the Furash that the Torah encourages you to be Nana from Chaylev. So, which clearly means you're allowed to have it in your house, right? So chaylev is chayiv kares. You could very easily, chaylev is a very easy mistake to make. It's just part of the kosher animal. Chaylev is chayiv kares, and yet there's no bayi rabbi matze. Dam is chayiv kares, there's no bayi rabbi matze. So why all of a sudden we're machmir in chametz? So why?
Isn't there a hidden assumption? Aren't we making, isn't there a hidden assumption in Tosfos that bayi rabbi matze is a chumrah, like Achila? I mean, maybe it's just a new Easter that has nothing to do with anything else. It's just like Nida and Tuma. And they have nothing to do with each other. They just cross lines.
Okay, but they're both, it could be, we'll have to come back to that, but you're asking a good question. A question we're not going to answer today, because like I said, we need time to learn the parak. But do we know that by Rabbi Matzik Zira Ato Achila? Or maybe not. It's a great question. I'm personally not saying for sure that Bar Yerubah melts Gzeira to Achila, but it could be that Tosos is not riding on that. Tosos might not be dependent on that. Clearly, it's a chumrah about chametz. Although I admit, some people think that way. So here, why wasn't
that? Can't that be the nafkamina between the two terutzim in Tosos?
What?
That mistaken terutz of Tosos, he's saying that since the Torah was machmer by chometz and by yirav and by yimatz Hashem yavi ochlena, so the chachamim were also masaket. And the first teretz of Tosfos has nothing to do with by yirav and by yimatz.
Correct. Meaning maybe the machlokes in the 2 days, whether by yirav and by yimatz is zera shem yavi ochlena or not. Fair enough. Well, we will come back to that. But lemaisa here, I think there's two totally different drachas to take. One derech is what the Ran takes that we saw inside. Maybe the Meiri is not in the piece we saw inside. After the Meiri is not in the piece we saw inside. The Ran and many others understand that what is Tosfos saying, that the Ran and many others, I mean, he's not in Tosfos, just in Tosfos general derech, is that the Torah is machmir shemayav la'achlo, why? Because of what we're dealing in, eh? So too we're machmir, meaning it really then makes it into the same thing. Why did the Torah so machmir? The Torah is so machmir because of what we're dealing in, eh? In which case, it's funny whether that's really Pshat and Tosfos or not. Let's take one approach. Why was Torah so machmir? The Ran and the Meiri and others say, Shem Yavo La'achlo, Kevan
Right? Oh, so why didn't our Machra Yain the Nasir? Okay, because this answer, that answer, etc. Meaning, but if you take their approach, they're not Mefarshei Tosfos. They're not telling you what Tosfos meant. They're telling you what they think. One approach is to say, my Rabbi Yotze is a Zera Tochila. And why does the Torah so go Zera Tochila? Because Lobadilim, you know, there's more of a chance you might make a mistake. In which case, you're just turning Tosfos' second answer into his first answer, which is a little Dochuk in Tosfos. Because, like, you know, why would the second answer be the same as the first answer? It sounds like it's a different answer. But the Mashmos Tosfos is that it's a separate answer. That HaTorah Hechmira Mechametz Mitamachir. The Mashmos of Tosfos, again, if you want to say Tosfos means like the Ran, you could. That, I don't mean like the Ran's to the coverage. That's because of Lobadilamine plus one of these four answers to differentiate it from Nazir. The other thing, first those says just because of Lobadilamine, their own Svara. And then what about Nazir? Okay, we have an answer. Second, he's saying, no, it's not their own Svara Lobadilamine. They saw that Torah was Machmir because of Lobadilamine. But then the two answers of Tosa are almost the same thing. It doesn't sound to me like the two answers of Tosa are almost the same thing. It sounds to me like the two answers of Tosa are two different things. One is that the reason we're Gozer Shemayav L'Achlo here more than anything else because of Lobadilamine. The second answer is the reason we're Gozer Shemayav L'Achlo is because the Torah is Machmir for a different reason. Since we see it so Chomer for a different reason, then we have to have extra Xeros, more so than anything else. What's that different reason that the Torah is so Machmir? Right? And basically, what I've now backed you into a corner is that you might have to start thinking maybe the Red Vaz is not so crazy. Maybe. Meaning, what's the different reason? Already, once you get into different reason, you're on the border. Maybe there are vases on one side of the border. Maybe you don't have to be on that side of the border. Between Lomdus and Tamei Mitzvos already. Maybe you're in Lobadilamine. Okay, maybe you're close to the border, but the Seder. But I hope you'll agree with me. Pashup Shad and Tosos is that he's not saying the same thing, just one on their own and one based on the Torah. No, he's saying one Lobadilamine and two, a different reason, because of Chumrah. Not because of Lobadilamine, because of Chumrah. Not there's more chance you'll eat Chametz than you'll eat something else. Because it's worse to eat Chametz than something else. What does he mean by worse? He doesn't mean Chayiv Kari, it's a worse technical punishment. Because then that would apply to Chelim and Dan. Worse in some other sense, perhaps. So, here's where the Ravaz comes into play. I'm not convinced, by the way, by the Ravaz's questions. Ben Chilas quote the Ravaz. Right, this is a very, very famous Radvaz. In some places, it's an infamous Radvaz. I think by the among the Briskers, this is an infamous Radvaz. So he's throwing too much philosophy and Tamei Mitzvos into Lomdus. Says the Radvaz, why, right? Manishtana chomet vezin v'lo shenshu v'tor shechmir lov Torah latzricho b'diko srof v'chali v'gam bittel v'lo sivu chachomem latzricho b'diko says, why are we so super duper duper machmir about Pesach? Why are we so crazy machmir about Pesach? Asks the Radvaz. On both Midoraisa and Midrabbanan, he throws it all into one big question. Right, which again fits very nicely with Tosos, which is that the Rabbanim were just following the Doraisa. But what's the reason? So first he tries to say, and he says, don't say it's Asurana because that's other Yisur. Don't say Lobadilamine because there's Yain Lanazir and Chadash. And don't say Kares to Scale of Dam. Okay, here we get into a subtlety. There's if you really want to dive, they've shown him more than we did. They argue a little, what's called Lobadilamine, what's not called Lobadilamine, right? So most of you should assume Lobadilamine is only something that like just started being usher now, like Yain the Nuzer. He assumes, and a few Rishonim assume, against Pshat of the Gemara, the Chodesh Lobadilamine, because it's seasonal. Okay. In any case, you have Yain the Nuzer, right? Even if Chodesh we call Bedilamine, what do you mean? You used to refrain from Chodesh every year. It becomes Mutter once a year, but it's always usher. Right, Chomet Chodesh turns Mutter on the second day of Pesach. It never turns Aser. So you're used to refraining for it, you still have Yain the Nazir. So his first answer is, because it's three factors together. That was on the board, right? Yitzdarful kol gimel tenorim halalu shui sura anov u bekars lo bedili yishvene kuli shaita. Okay. And since it has so many chomers, the Torah was machmir. And then the chachamim were machmir more chomers. Kamosha asa Torah, very clearly inspired by Tosfos Revaz. Of the Su. And then he gives a second answer, which I'm not, he also doesn't like it. It's not my criticism. He brings it up, doesn't like it. Maybe it's like, don't shoot some material, but he doesn't think it makes sense. And then he says, even the first reason, he doesn't love so much. Why does he reject the first reason? Right, first, then he says, well, let's read it. Su, the chomers, don't shoot some material, sure. Su, you're totally bizman. It's like Dorishish Matir, it's going to be mutter later. And we're always more macher is something that's going to be mutter later. But Akhmei Pesi Yacham, it's mutter. Now, if he's just Zechham, it's Mubari, Efshah Yolo Hatter, Elon Ken Yakral, you're like, Matze, so Safa, you can come into Mutter, and I know so far along. Even though it's not really Dorishish Matir, this Chametz is never going to be mutter because you have to destroy it. But Chametz in general will be mutter again. The Kashi Lele, the high time, and he decided, I tell him, need a field well for a bottle, Dorishish Matir, never going to feel well for a bottle, or Hapsa, or Sarfal, or Shirtle, or Seymour, just lay down a lot. Okay, he really rejects this. I wouldn't have even, if I was his editor, I would have erased it. You know, he says, Dabashis Matirin just means not Batal Barov, not Batal Bashishim, etc. It doesn't mean you have to destroy it. Like, that's a specific rule of Bintel. So forget Dabashis Matirin. Go back to the first reason. Three factors of Lobatilimine plus Kareis plus Esrana. He says, no, Gamal Tam Rishesh Success Gim Gun. We ought to be able to Zorah to Amr Torah Loyid by Yachamunah Kerem, Cholamodo, Kofgal, Kulom, Lomatinish, Tricha Torah, Babadika. So he says, no, it just doesn't make sense. Avodah Zarah is also very chomer. After all, Avodah Zarah is a kfir and kalatar kula, and it's the worst ever in the Torah, and it's so chomer, and yet we don't have to search after Avodah Zarah. Okay, the truth is I'm not so impressed by this question. I would have said, A, Avodah Zarah is b'dilamine. What do you mean? Super b'dilamine. All Jews have a taboo against Avodah Zarah. All Jews recoil from Avodah Zarah. That's super b'dilamine. So that wouldn't bother me in the first place, not to mention the fact, who says you don't have to look for Avodah Zarah? Is that so pashat? After all, what do you mean? There's no by Rabbi Nasir Vol Zarah? I don't know. It says Lo Savi So Eval Beisachla. You're not allowed to have Avodah Zarah yourself. That sounds the same as by Rabbi Matzeh. You don't have to search for Avodah Zarah. You didn't know Tashbisu? Of course there's Tashbisu for Avodah Zarah. The mitzvah say you be your Avodah Zarah. There's no Chiyuv Bedikah. Who says? There's no chiyuv b'dika in my house for Avodah Zarah, because that's not a makom shemachnisim of Avodah Zarah. But maybe if I buy a house from a guy, maybe I do have to search for Avodah Zarah. Who knows? Doesn't say so in Shas, but it's possible. Okay, in any case, I'm not impressed by his kashas, mostly because Avodah Zarah is b'dilin yinei, so that undercuts the whole kasha. And also, because maybe you are. Maybe Chazal were makhmer by Avodah Zarah also. After they were also makhmer by Avodah Zarah. And even if technically there's no formal chiyuv b'dika, maybe that's just because it doesn't usually happen that you get a house which is Makar Shechnitz Avodah Zarah, because usually in your own house you would never bring it, and the guy's house you usually cleans the stuff and moves out. You could, okay, his question don't bother me. But what's his answer? Alkeni Somech Masha Amar Azal Medrashas. He Chametz Pesach Remez Leisha Harush Sor Sheba Isa. He relies on one Gemara, which is a big deal nowadays. All the Darshan like to quote it. It's only one Gemara in Brachos, if I'm not mistaken. That is just a literary flourish, right? One of the Amoraim Yisodam to Hashem and say, Galoi lefanecha sheritzoneinu lasa shelasa ritzonecha. You know we want to do the mitzvah. So mama akri yadeinu, sor shebe isa v'shiv and malchios. Who's stopping us? Just the goyim and the sor shebe isa. In one place in Shas, they use this phrase sor shebe isa, and sor shebe isa is clearly a metaphor for some internal badness. Right? What's stopping us from the outside, the Goyim? And from the inside, the Seor in our Isa. Right? The Yetzer Hara. Okay? And maybe you could say it's only, more or less the Yetzer Hara. Right? Clearly, some Yetzer Hara inside us. Maybe you could say it's one Yetzer Hara, not the other Yetzer Hara, but it's clearly a Yetzer Hara. So, what does he builds on this? Even though it's just an offhand, metaphorical, literary flourish in a tefillah quoted by the Gemara, he builds off this. Lachain.
Says
says the Radvaz, what's worse than Avodah Zarah? Yetzer Hara. Because Avodah Zarah is what you do because you're Yetzer Hara. But the Yetzer Hara is what makes you do it. I mean, that's clear, right? The cause is greater than the effect. All the Jewish philosophers like to say that. Sounds philosophically, right? Yetzer Hara is worse than Avodah Zarah. The Yetzer Hara is inside me. It's the cause of Avodah Zarah. So says the Radvaz, what is that?
Only 1 week a year.
What is this? Says the Radvaz. Chametz is Yetzer Hara. Ah, only 1 week a year? I don't know who asked that. But if it's the Yetzer Hara, why do we only get rid of it 1 week a year? Now, I have a lot to say about that. But what I have to say about that is really Begeder Drush more than Begeder Lundus. And who speaks of this very nicely? If I'm not mistaken, Rav Zevin. In his, maybe in the Torah Lamodim, speaks about this very beautifully. That's Lundus. His Chassidus, and his Drush. I think in the Torah Lamodim, he speaks about this very nicely. Anyway, why only, if it's the answer, her, why only get rid of it 1 week a year? So the answer might be, Pashtus, could be the answer is, and this is what he talks about, that, you know, even the Yetzer Hara, we can't check. They tried that experiment, it failed. Or the answer is, it's not that Chametz is the Yetzer Hara, it's that Chametz symbolizes the Yetzer Hara. So 1 week a year, we take advantage of that symbolism. And the rest of the year, we just treat it as Chametz. Meaning, it's not really Yetzer Hara, it's really just a piece of bread. It's a harmless piece of bread. It just symbolizes the Yetzer Hara. Something can only symbolize something 1 week a year. That's not so crazy. A symbol could only be 1 week a year. That's not, it's not what we normally think of symbols, but it's not a crazy symbol at all. There are certain things this week that symbolizes something, and the rest of the year doesn't symbolize anything. The rest of the year, it's an innocent baguette.
It's not more chamor now than Avodah Zarah, which we only have to get rid of in Eretz Yisrael.
And it's okay. Now more chamor than Avodah Zarah, because at least this week it symbolized the Yetzer Hara. Or maybe it always symbolizes the Yetzer Hara, but again, then it's funny. Again, you're right. You've pointed out a good kasha. The Radvaz is a little funny. If it was really worse than Avodah Zarah, it was mamish Yetzer Hara incarnate, right? Then, okay, we Jews generally, I'd see a smile here. We try to be very careful about making bread anything incarnate. Maybe Chometz okay. But if it's really the Yetzer Hara incarnate, then why do we eat it with gusto 51 weeks a year? It's a little funny. If it's just, it's just a symbol or something. If it's just a symbol, then why is it worse than Avodah Zarah? Okay, the Radvaz is somehow going to have to walk a tightrope saying, it's mamish worse than Avodah Zarah, but only 1 week a year. Okay, and maybe Alphikimius, he knows something that I don't. I mean, clearly I don't. I know that I don't know Alphikimius. So I'm assuming he did, I don't know. That's one possibility, which is that why was the Torah so machmir? The Torah was so machmir because it's Yetzer Hara incarnate, which now that he has this kasha, it's killing him, killing me. If it's really Yetzer Hara incarnate, if it's really just like a nice literary flourish or cute metaphor, then don't be so machmir more than Avodah Zarah. And if it's really Yetzer Hara incarnate, then why do we eat it with gusto 51 weeks a year? He's really going to have to walk a tightrope here. No, 51 weeks a year, it's a harmless baguette. But this week, it's worse than Avodah Zarah. Okay, yeah, could be. But I hear the tying against the Radvaz. That leaves us with a fascinating question.
Could you explain it that it's not the physical chametz? It's that the chametz is 1 year a year is something that's special. It's hidden. It's different. You have to look into it to see what it is. And that's what's compared to the Yetzer Hara.
Meaning, okay, I mean, saying in different words. Basically, the Torah has to remind us to get rid of our, not just, again, with all due respect to all the lackadaisical Jews out there, but the Yetzer Hara is not, you could walk around all year thinking that, the Yetzer Hara is something that, like, we shouldn't give in to, it's better not to, it's not ideal, it'll be okay. Don't sweat the small stuff and it'll all be fine. All of Musar exists to tell us that's not true, right? All of Musar exists to tell us that
No, you have to battle the Yetzer Hara. You have to be proactive. You have to root it out. You have to find the deepest recesses, the deepest recesses of your heart, the roots of that Yetzer Hara. So what he's saying is, no, it is 1 week a year. 1 week a year, we need a reminder that the Yetzer Hara is a poison. The Yetzer Hara is our arch enemy. The Yetzer Hara is the most dangerous thing we could possibly encounter. The Yetzer Hara has to be uprooted, you know, root and branch. The once a week, once a year, we need a reminder of that. When we have that reminder, we have to take it all the way. It's worse than Avodah Zarah. Why? When Chametz is reminding us of the Musar of our Yetzer Hara, it's worse than Avodah Zarah. When Chametz is just innocent, it's not. Okay.
The logic is fine. What was bothering me is that he said that Avodah Zarah isn't so chamor because only in Eretz Yisrael you have to get rid of it. He's saying now that Chametz is, so he should also say that Chametz isn't chamor because only 1 week you have to get rid of it. You could also say that
Avodah Zarah is a technical question.
Only can do Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael.
Right. So the truth is that once you're going to ask a technical question, this ties into the big issue which we discussed. Was anyone in my shiur when we learned the second parak of Pesachim, or is that too long ago? No, it must have been too long ago. Even Aaron wasn't in the shiur then. If no one here was in my afternoon shiur for Isser Heter either. Okay, this really has to do with, if you want to ask from a technical perspective, this has to do with a very subtle machlokis rishonim at the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah, which also ties in to the second paragraph of Maseches Pesachim. Is chametz considered isura bala or hetera bala? Meaning, is chametz on Pesach and chametz all year long the same chefta or a different chefta? Right? Basically, it's machlokis rishonim whether chametz all year long is isur or heter. What do they mean? Obviously, it's mutter chametz all year long. They mean is chametz all year long and chametz on Pesach one big chefta, and therefore it's the chefta that's usher on Pesach, or is chametz all year long and chametz on Pesach two different cheftas? I know it's a purely lumdish question. With Nafmina's halacha leisa, two different cheftas, and on Pesach it turns into a different chefta of chametz on Pesach, like nosar, right? Kodshim and nosar are two different cheftas. It's the same physical piece, but at a certain point when the night falls or the day breaks, depending on what it is, it turns from regular kachim into nosar. So is that chametz? It's two different cheftas? Or no, chametz is all one chefta. It's just, you know, basically we're asking, is chametz like nosar or is chametz like food on Yom Kippur? Food on Yom Kippur, there's food. It's all the same food. Now you can eat it, now you can't eat it. Or no, kachim turns into a new chefta of nosar. Okay, the Radvaz would make sense. What I'm claiming, Shmuel, is that the Radvaz would have to hold that chametz is called heter bala. Chametz all year long is a chefta shel heter. Chametz on Pesach is chefta shel isur. They're two different cheftas. The Radvaz would say the chefta of chametz on Pesach and the chefta of chametz all year long are two different cheftas. Ah, it's the same farshtunk in a piece of bread? No. When Pesach comes, it turns into a different chefta, just like nosar. So if the Radvaz assumes that chametz on Pesach is a different chefta lumdishly than chametz all year long, then he can defend himself by saying you always have to uproot and search for chametz on Pesach, which is a different chefta. Okay, lemaisa, we're going to have to stop now. But, keep in mind, there are new guys in shiur this year, and I lost my chance to fool them into thinking that the shiur will generally be of a tolerable length. And now they're not going to come back. We should have ended an hour ago and hooked them in. One question I'm going to leave you with now. I'll leave you with some suspense. I know we didn't fully get through the Makor sheet. We didn't get the last three lines. Chaim's going to ask, where did we get up to? We got up to my Nafgamina. Fine.
Exactly what I was going to say.
I know my question.
You got your
question. I want you to think about a little, and I'm not sure if we should answer this now or we should answer this later. It's a good question. What I want you to think about is there another alternative to Red Vaz? With all that we tried to defend the Red Vaz, still it's a bit drushy. It's a bit drushy. Maybe you have to be drushy. Maybe we shouldn't be briskers. Maybe we should be, the Mesha Chachma and the Rebbe Chavar. But is there another option for why the Torah was so machmir that is not quite so drushy as Yetzer Hara, but is not just dressing up Lobedilimine in a new suit? Is there some other real, like, perhaps more lumdish explanation of why the Torah was so machmir that Chazal could have been inspired by to be more machmir as well? I'm not promising you there's an answer to that question, but it's worth thinking about. So I'll leave you that as food for thought. And with the only thing we didn't get to now is the nafkamina between Rashi and Tosos, which we will, Amir Tashem, pick up with next time. And as a matter of fact, I think, I put the Chazon Ish in bracket, but we should all see the Chazon Ish. I'll send it out, Amir Tashem. So we'll do these from my nafkamina and on next time, Amir Tashem. And I didn't finish typing up the Makorish for next time yet, but what I want to do next time is, if you will indulge me, I don't want to start the Gemara yet next time. I want to deal with one other question that we already saw the Ran dealing with, and many other Rishonim that we didn't read those parts dealt with, which is, what was Rashi is obviously making two assumptions. When Rashi says, Bidika is for Rabbi Rabbi Yimotze, one is assumption, which is what we dealt with now, is that Bidika is necessary. And everyone asks, why is Bidika necessary? After all, Bittul is good enough. The other assumption that almost all the Rishonim L'chora seem to assume, either almost or all, is that Bidika is sufficient. Meaning, let's say I only did Bidika, not Bittul. Would that be good enough Midoraisa? Would it be good enough Midoraisa? The Meiri thinks, the main covenant of the Torah is Bidika. Bidika is good enough Midoraisa. The Ran says Bidika is good enough Midoraisa. Is Bidika good enough Midoraisa? Bidika is not necessary Midoraisa. Is Bidika sufficient Midoraisa? If I just did Bidika, meaning was there a time before Chazal invented Bittul, or thought of Bittul, like invented, before they thought of Bittul, when Bidika was good enough Midoraisa? Why would Bidika not be good enough Midoraisa? So I might miss something. Is Bidika good enough Midoraisa? Or do I have to worry that I might miss something? That's what I want to finish up this Inyan and discuss that Inyan a little before we go on. That way we can at least finish up the relationship between Bidika and Bittul. And some of the makoros of that are, if you just want to write down what we're going to start with, the Gemara in Daf Vav of the days, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Habodik Tzar Sheyavatel, until Lo Matzi Mavtel, the Shibali Leka that was on the first sheet, the Tor in Or HaChaim Tav Lamed Daled, the line quoted by the Magen Avraham in Sefkat and Hay, and you can also see what the Taz says about it, the Tor in Siman Tav Mem Vav, quoted by the Magen Avraham. So basically the Magen Avraham Tav Lamed Daled Hay quotes a Tor in 434 and a Tor in 446, two lines of Tor. There Benu David, Daf Bezim and Altum Rasl Bolkinus Achamitz, the Ran that was on the first Makoros sheet, and the very, very, very important Tosos, the last Tosos on the, no, not last, Tosos Daf Chafal from Altum Rasl Be'i. I'll email this out later, Amir Tashem, but just to give us some idea of what we're going to do, we're going to finish Nafganifim Rashi and Tosos, and then ask the other question. Not what do you need Bidika, but is Bidika good enough? Not what do you need Bidika after you have Bittul, but is Bidika good enough without Bittul? Again, the Gemara in Daf Vav, the Shibali Leket, the two lines in the Torah quoted by the Magen Avraham, Tav Lamed Daled Hey, there being a David, Dimarasel Bolkinus Achametz on our Mishnah, the Ran on the Korah sheet, and Tosos on Daf Vav Aleph. Amen Aleph, Dimarasel Bi'i, and Amir Tashem, I will see you all Monday. It's very good to be back with all the familiar faces. It's really good to see a lot of the familiar and new faces. I think Yitzhak, you count as a familiar face. Geographically, if not institutionally. Right? But I'm looking forward to seeing everyone in person out of Bidud. And I wish everyone a good Shabbos. If anyone has questions, of course, please feel free to ask. If anyone doesn't want to listen to everyone else's question, feel free to click the red button that says leave. Yes. 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 And therefore, what do you conclude? He is saying the opposite, right?
Yeah. It seems like he's saying the opposite.
What gives him the right to say the opposite? What gives him the right to say the opposite?
No, that's what you said, because he's going to give the same thing.
Got it. Okay.
So he's saying that he's going against, then by definition, the Gemara is saying that when somebody does bittul, he's not going to be pleasant. Right? That's going to solve the issue of Shemini Tzeglosviyot. But now we're saying that the issue is if you do the decap in the bittul because maybe Shemini Tzeglosviyot. Bittul's not going to solve that issue.
Correct. So, you know what? I'm going to let you think about that. Because the Gemara says Bittul will solve the issue. He says it won't. Good, I want you to think about that, because I want to know what you think. You'll hear what I think on Monday. Fair? Okay, great. Amazing.
Rabbi, what's Rabbeinu David and what's Tosafot?
I just want to see if anyone agrees with me. Yes.
What's Rabbeinu David and what's Tosafot?
Reinu David, Bezim and Aleph, your master, both can as a chametz. Tosfot 21a, Chaf Aleph, and Aleph, your master, V'i.
Thank you.
How are you, Marty?